Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rock Talk Podcast. Today, I am joined by John Penman. He is a rapper extraordinaire. I've checked out his stuff. Dude's got some bars.
Yeah. Thanks for those kind words, brother.
Yeah. So how you doing tonight, my bro?
Pretty good, man. Just chilling out and enjoying some family time in Florida and trying to not work too hard. But alas, we're talking, so obviously I can't stop myself from working, so.
Fuck yeah. Well, before we get too far into this, I have a quick announcement to the listeners. So, this week, I just partnered up with Music's Metaphor. They're an Orange County-based event and indie music entertainment platform. We're doing a giveaway. They're hosting a Music for Mental Health Awareness concert. It's coming up May 22nd. So we're doing a giveaway for one free ticket and a $25 Amazon gift card. All you need to do is go down to the link below, enter in, or you can go into any of our social medias and enter in. It's completely free. And we're going to be having Misty Posey, Mellow Knights, and Brass Monkey there. So it's open from now until May 8th, and I'll announce the winner on May 11th.
Cool.
Hell yeah. Just had to get the business out the way.
Absolutely. Got to make sure that all the bases are covered.
Yeah. But yeah, it's really cool. It's a really cool giveaway. I'm fucking stoked about this one.
I love doing giveaways myself. There's something fun about just doing them. I don't know. People get happy. It's a good PR.
Oh, fuck yeah. All right. So today we're going to be talking about not just a regular interview. We're going to actually be doing a topic. I was thinking, because it's the first time I've had a full-fledged rapper on the podcast, and with me being a rocker and a metal vocalist, I was thinking it'd be great to have a conversation of what rock looks like from a rapper's point of view and what rap looks like from a rocker's point of view. So, do you want to open the floor?
Sure. I guess a little backstory, actually. Before I started doing rap, I've always kind of rapped, but before I really took it seriously as a main project, which started around, 2017, I was doing mostly metal stuff. So I was, always the drummer for metal bands, specifically progressive metal. I would always try to arrange these, very Dream Theater-esque, projects, stuff like that. So, my entire backing, everything that I know is rooted in that. So coming to rap is really, it was less of a genre choice and more of a, I was bored. I was literally bored with just doing rock over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Then having it not work out. So tried this, it's working out better.
Cool. Yeah. I've always been rooted in rock and metal since I'd say probably about age of 13. But I've always loved listening to rap, but I've always had to pick and choose my artists, because there's the certain ones that you can't get into them. Is I prefer, because that's my problem with what most rap is, I prefer lyricism over your speed. I don't give a fuck how fast you're going. I want real lyrics. I want raw shit, and I want to hear what you're saying. I don't care if you're getting 5,000 words per minute, but if you're just on, fucking, I'm sorry, dude. So yeah, that's how I've always looked at rap. Is just, it's always been tentative to me.
No, I feel you. There's different. Yeah. There's definitely different avenues of that and stuff too. I mean, because some people have criticized, some of the ads that I put out for some of my music. You know, I have some tracks that are like that. They're very fast. They're really fast. A lot of them, one of them specifically breaks Eminem's record for the fastest track.
Summon, right?
Yep, that's the one.
Yeah, and I like that track. Because I could still hear what you were saying.
Yeah, and see, that's just what like I'm with Eminem. Focus on is trying to like, even when I'm writing those fast tracks, like, every single word matters so much. Like, because I know that people are going to try to criticize. They'll say exactly what you said, because I say the same thing. There's a lot of shit that's fast that doesn't make any fucking sense. And I know people rip it apart, and so I figure, okay, people are going to rip things apart no matter what. People are people. They're going to want to, you know, figure out what they like, what they don't like. So if I can deliver a product that's whole and good, then let them rip it apart, you know? Because piece by piece, each individual piece will be fine. So that's kind of how I try to do it, like a patchwork quilt.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, it's a good way to go about it. And also, just wanted to, I kind of sounded a little dickish when I was talking about rap there for a second. I will say metal also has its pitfalls when it comes to lyricism, because another problem I have is motherfuckers who are growling or screaming who don't articulate what the fuck they're saying. Sorry, I'm not going to get into it if all I hear is just a bunch of squeals. I need to hear the words you're screaming or growling.
Yeah.
It goes to metal too. So I think it's another thing that we also have in common, because that's another thing I wanted to talk about, is the fact that not a lot of people mention it, but we got to start fucking mentioning it. The lines are very blurred between rap and fucking metal, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Rap and rock, rap and metal, we go together like biscuits and gravy. I mean, look at nu metal. It's just rap and metal put together.
Literally.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with rap and country. Like, especially now, rap and country is becoming almost, well, not the same thing. Like, rap isn't becoming country. That'll never happen. But country is literally, like, slowly but surely becoming rap.
Oh, like, yes, totally.
Yeah.
Especially with Lil Nas X, with Old Town Road.
It's strange, man. Like, I'm a big fan of, like, George Strait and a lot of that old time country shit, you know, like, I really love that shit. So to see all this, like, country rap, I don't know, it's strange. Again, as a music lover, I don't have a problem with it, but it's interesting seeing the lineage of, like, what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's fucking hilarious, is if you do want to check out something that's country rap, but also with a little bit of rock as well, I would definitely say, check out Cowboy Troy.
All right.
He's so fucking, it's so interesting. He has one track that he had Matt Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold on. It's called Buffalo Stampede. And it's just so fucking interesting, where it's just like, it's that country twang guitar, and then he's rapping his lyrics over it. It's like so weird.
Yeah, that's my kind of jam, dude, for sure. Like, I love that kind of, like, experimental vibe where it's just different. Like, I've been looking for a lot of different music lately, especially. So, yeah, I'll look that up. Cowboy Troy.
Yeah, definitely, dude. What are some similarities you'd say there are between rap and metal and rap and rock?
So, like, between the two, honestly, I think number one is rhythm, especially if you take, like, stuff that's, like, syncopation of bass and drum, you know, especially in the metal world, you know, like, especially when you're talking about, let's just say you're writing a song in a typical 4/4 meter, and you have maybe a song by Disturbed, and there's a lot of da-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun, you know, it's very syncopated, it's together. Like, that kind of thing, that syncopation between those instruments is no different than the syncopation of the vocal on a rap song and the beat, you know, being able to kind of, like, ebb and flow between things. So, and all of it rooted from jazz. So, like, to me, rock and rap are basically the same thing. They're just offshoots of jazz, where people were tired of doing just jazz, and they either started doing rock, or they started doing more like free-form poetry that eventually found its way into, you know, whatever rap is today. And that's the thing, who even knows what rap is, because it's so everything now.
Yeah, just the same thing with metal too. Metal is it. I think our genre is we need to stop having subgenres. We just need to have like a genre and have people understand that it's a forever changing genre.
Literally.
Metal in the 80s was Metallica and Judas Priest. Metal in the 2000s was Slipknot and Linkin Park. And now metal nowadays is Architects and Bring Me the Horizon.
Yep,
So
literally.
it's just like it forever changing because like none of them sound the same. They all
No.
sound very fucking different.
Yeah, and creating subgenres also creates confusion because it's just like, who can follow all this bullshit? Like, just like, especially when you look at things like from the jazz perspective of everything came from jazz, essentially, it's like, why don't we just call everything jazz? Like, it sounds silly, but like, why don't we just call everything jazz? Because, like, death metal is just as much jazz as jazz is jazz. Like, I mean, it's got elements of proficiency, technical proficiency on the guitar of people playing this crazy shit in death metal. You know? I mean, like, you're talking about people doing also, like, sweep. I'm not a guitar player, but people are doing sweeps, you know, like, scale exercises basically built into the riffs. I mean, like, you're talking about it's jazz, man. Death metal's jazz.
I mean, just if you just fucking isolate, just looking at Herman Lee from Dragon Force, just that man, he is just the epitome of a jazz guitarist who's just, he's just having fun. He's just lost, he lost himself in the music,
Yep,
you
same
know?
with like, Oh, forgive me. Steely Dan. That whole band is literally jazz fucking central.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's like fucking Jethro Tull had their moments like
Yep.
that. Just to
Oh yeah, dude.
fucking pop into a fucking 10-15 minute flute solo.
Oh yeah. I love it though because it's like it gives it a it just there's flavor in it, man. Like, and people know jazz when they hear it. It's like, so, it's so funny. You know, Kendrick Lamar had a song called For Free, where he was rapping over this freeform jazz beat, and it didn't make like much sense at first, but it totally made sense. And you know it's jazz, and it's so funny how you can put on something that's even not jazz, and it can be jazzy. It has elements of jazz in it, and people will be like, oh, that sounds like jazz. It's people know what that is. Like, they know the sound, and no matter what you call it, whether it's jazz or whether they named it giraffe or tape recorder, doesn't matter what you called it, they named it jazz. The sound of that's music. Like, they should just, like you said, one genre, just call it music. Like, just fucking, it's so confusing trying to get people, and then people have genre wars over which is better and which is harder or more extreme. It's like, shut the
We're,
fuck up.
and another thing I will say is the genre thing, it really only matters here in the US.
Yep.
Because it's here in the US, the genre, it breeds the division. Meanwhile, in Europe, that doesn't matter. Like, fucking here, you have dedicated rock and metal festivals. Whereas in fucking Europe, I remember there's one festival, Corey Taylor talked about it, where Slipknot was headlining that day, but they went on right after the fucking Pixies.
Oh yeah, dude.
So it's just like, yeah. Europe's doing it right.
Yeah, literally. I mean, it's that's why in Europe you see all those crazy fucking lineups that like don't make much sense on the surface, and it's like, because they do make sense as an actual true lineup. Like, Slipknot doesn't give a fuck if they're playing next to the Pixies, and the Pixies probably don't give a fuck if they're playing next to Slipknot. You know, it's like it's all the artists never they don't care. It's the corporation, it's the label that gives a lot more of a fuck.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, fucking shout out to Rocklahoma. I don't know if you've ever heard about Rocklahoma, but it's a rock festival in Pryor, Oklahoma. Fucking, they have monster lineups, but they had a monster lineup last year. I was gonna go, but unfortunately got canceled because of the Rona. But it was a everything festival. Like there was Slipknot and there was Five Finger Death Punch, but there was also Jelly Roll. And
Oh, damn, he was there as well.
yeah, like fucking just like shit like that. It's just like I love having that. It's just like, cause like, yeah, just mix it up, put something else in there. She's like, yeah. Like I would like to take a break from my headbanging and go fucking listen to some Jelly Roll, you know?
Yeah, I wish that they would do more of those kind of lineups in America, but it's, I don't know. I mean, they come sometimes, you know, sometimes there'll be like a smaller festival that does it, but I don't know. I mean, the closest thing that I ever saw was like Rock on the Range in Ohio. They had Cypress Hill there one time, and that was really pretty unique, but that was pretty much it. You know, I was like,
yeah,
pretty surprised about that even.
And so it's just definitely, we need to just get rid of genres in America.
Yeah.
So that we can get back to this thing, enjoying music for what it is. Because that's another thing we need to do, is we need to bring back music fucking appreciation classes.
Oh,
in
yeah.
School.
Oh, literally. I took a music appreciation class in college, and I failed it, oddly enough, because I didn't do any of the fucking homework. But, and the teacher was blind, dude. Check this out. His name was Dr. Fred Moss. So, oh, for shit. Any of the listeners, his you can look him up. He's like a blind music teacher, and this dude was more knowledgeable than fuck. And I didn't not listen to him. Like, I listened a lot, and the shit that I learned in that class was crazy. I just failed because I didn't do any fucking homework. But the like the amount of shit that you learn from just this man sitting you down and being like, all right guys, 3 hours, we're gonna listen to fucking Mozart for 3 hours, and that's all you do. And he sits there, and it's like, I mean, he can't tell if you're texting, you know, because he's blind and all, but, like, there was, like, the whole class, bro, like, nobody, like, even though a lot of kids weren't doing their homework, and a lot of kids were failing because of that as well, all of us were, like, tuned into this music, because he put on, like, this dude, blind or not, man, his ears worked like a motherfucker, because he would pick the best tracks, like, some of the most crazy classical shit, like, and it wasn't just Mozart, it was like Handel, Bach, anything. I mean, he would pick the pieces that were just like, it would make the most metalhead kid in the class be like, whoa. It would make the most rap kid in the class be like, whoa. And,
yeah.
I mean, like, that's like, you know, all it took, just a little music and a dude. A little music and a dude.
Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry, I don't care who you are, I don't care what time you're in. Mozart be hitting different.
Yep, literally, it does.
Fucking Beethoven hits different too. I mean, motherfucker, there's a reason why that shit is the classics.
Yeah, I mean, people, even a lot of metal is based off that neoclassical type vibe. Like,
oh yeah,
it's just good stuff. That's why I'm obsessed with Dream Theater, stuff like that.
Oh, dude, yeah, I fucking love that type of shit. Dream Theater and the Devin Townsend project, I really get into.
Oh yeah,
it's just like he just like creates like such soundscapes,
dude.
You know,
his whole deal. And I never really got into him too much, but anything that I've heard from him or like Camelot or you know anything that really produces like a sound like a universe. It's like it creates its own sonic universe of like you get implanted into this place when you're listening to it and you're like, where the fuck am I?
Yeah. It's very fucking awesome. So, yeah. But actually, one question. You brought up that Kendrick Lamar song earlier. What album is that on?
And that's on To Pimp a Butterfly, and it's called For Free. I highly recommend listening to that album because it's, like, unbelievable.
Yeah, because, like, I know I've listened to Damn, and I listen to Kendrick here and there. He's not one that I, like, hardcore, like, always bumping his tunes, mm-hmm. but, like, I fuck around with his tracks here and there. Definitely Love, I guess, one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a classic one. No, if you take a couple blunts in a good night and you listen to Pimp a Butterfly as you smoke, it's just like, just sit there and burn a couple, man, and listen to it. It's just the messages inside that album are
Some good deep shit.
Yeah, I mean, it goes so far. I mean, like, there's even a podcast called Dissect that goes in-depth kind of explaining and going into albums. And they did a whole season on that album, like episode by episode, breaking each song down. And I was like, it's fucking unbelievable.
Nice. Fuck yeah, dude. What would you say is your favorite rap album that you've listened to? Like, I'm gonna say this recent, like, we'll keep it in the recent years, like past few years.
Favorite one in the past few years. Probably as it's most okay. I would say Spiritual Levels by Rich P. He's a dude out of New York, up and comer, you know. He's really fucking good, man. You would actually really like this album. It's just really good. It's like this classic New York boom bap style, but he's like fresh, you know? Like he's like now, he's current. So yeah, Rich P, Spiritual Levels, he's the shit. That came out 2020. So nice. Definitely a new product.
Nice. And have you been keeping up with metal? Have you been listening to any new rock and metal releases?
Somewhat. I mean, I listen to, as far as with rock, I really love Breaking Benjamin, so I'm always like waiting for the next Breaking Benjamin album. I love that radio rock situation. I also love Mastodon, so I'm always waiting for a new Mastodon record. You know, Mastodon's like gotta be one of my favorite bands of all time. Like, they're unbelievable. Slipknot, I also really love still.
Yes, yeah. Did you check out We Are Not Your Kind?
No, not yet.
Yeah, those 2019, if I'm correct.
Was that the one that had some more singy, songy, radio type vibes on it as well?
They have some pretty heavy shit on it, but it's a good mix. Like they definitely have a little bit more friendly choruses. But they get it. They get it, and they get it hard in the fucking verses. I very much enjoy it. It was also a fairly experimental album that they did. There's a couple of tracks in there that's just like some like eerie, like kind of creepy soundscapes that make you feel like you're listening to Iowa again.
Oh yeah.
And
dude, Iowa is freaky.
Yeah, and then and there's like at the end of some songs, there's like an extra minute of just like a droning sound or just like a repeating beat leading into the next song, just to like have you get that just like the ooh kind of uneasy feeling. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. All that sound design that they do. I've seen them live a few times too, and it's always a great show. I've always always enjoyed it.
Yeah. What would you say is your favorite concert you've been to? And who was it?
Favorite concert, man. Tom Petty. Yeah, hands down. Tom Petty, hands down. I mean, like, that was like just before he died too, so it was like fucking amazing. Yeah, Tom Petty. No, yeah. I can't, there's nothing that even comes close.
Nice. Yeah, mine was I would probably say it like 6-7 months before the shutdown. Mm-hmm. The Orange County Fair, fucking Styx was performing. Me and my girl went to go, and I popped an edible.
Oh my god!
I was on an empty stomach.
You were fucked up.
I was fucking in the concert, and it fully fucking slammed me when they hit too much time on my hands, and I was just like sitting there, just like fucking holding onto this plane of reality, just grooving out,
just like trying to fucking hold on.
But I'm just like fucking, just like writhing around, looking like fucking Jim Belushi, and dude, doing hilarious. his Joe Cocker impressionation.
That's funny.
But yeah,
I miss live shows.
It was so good because they sounded great. There's the one thing I'll say. If anyone's contemplating going to see Styx, and you're wondering, it's like, oh, they're old now. Do they still have it? They still fucking have it. They haven't lost it one fucking bit. They sound like they're just fucking... It sounds like they're just playing the album, but they're right there, and you can see them, and it's just... Oh.
They still play Renegade like a motherfucker?
Oh, dude. It comes Sail Away. When they pop that bitch off, it goes... Yeah, everything. Fucking...
Sounds like a good show.
Yeah, they played Lorelei at the fucking show. And I was just like, that's awesome. And then they played Crystal Ball, and I was just like, ah!
Oh, yeah.
That's one they fucking rarely play is Crystal Ball.
Yeah. I feel like I've only seen them, like, at, or not them, I've only seen, bands like them. Like, I've seen Foreigner a couple times.
Mm. Had tickets to that.
Foreigner's dope, man.
Yeah, had tickets to that before the fucking Rona.
They're a great dude. Foreigner, the harmonies from bands like that, and like Boston, just fucking amazing. Like all that like corporate radio rock from the 80s, it's so good. Like it's so good. Yeah, they're talented too.
Yeah, they were. It's some good fucking music, man. So we're coming close to the end of the pod, and I just wanted to ask you a question I like to ask all my guests. Sure. Is what would you say is the top five influential albums for you? Like, what shaped you as a musician? Like, just rattle those five albums off.
I'm gonna try not to even think about this too much and let it just come. Wildflowers from Tom Petty. I'm going to have to say We Are Not Alone from Breaking Benjamin. I'm going to have to say Pet Sounds from the Beach Boys. I'm going to have to say, and these are in no particular order, I'm going to have to say Houses of the Holy from Led Zeppelin. And good I'm going to have to say Crack the Sky from Mastodon.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Oddly enough, none of those are rap albums. But, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter. That's the shit
still,
that really
it still lit goes my fucking through. Fire. Yeah, it still goes to prove that metal does have influences in the rap world.
It does, just man.
Tech N9ne. Tech N9ne's a huge Slipknot fan.
Literally. And
that
like
motherfucker spits.
I swear, man. Like, most of my what I do can be attributed to being influenced by those artists, like meeting Mastodon, meeting Breaking Benjamin at like meet and greets, you know, at festivals or whatever, and walking up to them and shaking their hand and them being kind enough, you know, to like to fucking say hi. It's like, I don't know, it gives you life.
Fuck yeah, dude. Well, John, it was a pleasure talking to you. Guys, go check out John Penman. He's fucking great. It's on YouTube under John Penman. He's got some good tracks to listen to. I saw there's a couple of vlogs up there too.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Homeboy does fucking everything. And once again, I'll remind everyone, we're partnered up with Music's Metaphor. Go down into the description or go over to any of the social medias, either Music's Metaphor or mine, and enter that giveaway. It's completely free, and you'll get a free ticket to this concert. And $25 Amazon gift card. Plus, it's for a good cause. It's for mental health awareness. I mean, like, who wouldn't? I mean, and even if you don't win the giveaway, if you want to buy a ticket, it's $10.
Yeah, literally.
It's a $10 ticket. It's some talented motherfuckers on the lineup. So definitely do that. Time. Check out John. Fucking subscribe. Squeeze my titty if you feel like it.
Squeeze it.
Peace, guys.
Farewell. Have a good one.